anxiety, there are a lot of things that you can do to get your situation manageable. So try not to feel hopeless. There are lots of ways to get unstuck and to accomplish success and move forward. I'm a big believer that we can all do it. We can all move forward, and it's just a matter of learning.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com and, as always, from understandingautoimmune.com. And it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here tonight on another brand new episode. And I've got a fascinating topic that the more I go through my healing process here and stronger I get, I realize how this topic plays a huge part in my current healing regime. So I'm really excited to welcome Michelle Bitton. She is a health and wellness coach and an educator. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in holistic nutrition and a certification in kinesiology, health and fitness studies. And she is just an amazing person who has written a really wonderful book called The Instant Anxiety Solution, 5 Simple Steps to Quiet Your Mind and Achieve Calm. I always get hard to read the small little subtitles, everyone, but 5 Simple Steps to Quiet Your Mind and Achieve Calm. So even if you're like, I don't have anxiety, Sharon, I'm good, I'm cool, who wouldn't like 5 Simple Steps to have those surprise moments when your anxiety just surprises you to achieve calm? So welcome, Michelle. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, a little background. How did you discover these 5 simple steps, the instant anxiety solution?
It's a good question. It was a personal journey that I was going through. I have a daughter who struggles terribly with anxiety. And for 10 years, we tried everything natural and allopathic, and nothing worked. No techniques worked. And then one day I talked to a friend of mine who has her PhD in dialectical behavioral therapy. And she said a couple of things that really hit that wow button for me. And I just thought, okay, I am going to apply this to my daughter. And they worked fabulously and made a huge difference in her life. And being the coach and the educator that I am, I thought I can really help people with these tools and techniques. So I put it into a 5-step program that can really help people push through their anxiety and change their lives, move forward.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I love those aha moments when something unexpected happens.
We wait for it and wait for it and we try things, and you when you hit them, you know that it's right.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm curious, how do you define anxiety? I've heard many people say what they have is anxiety, and sometimes I'm like, I'm not so sure. So how do you define anxiety?
Anxiety exists on a spectrum. That's the way I would put it. And I think it feels different for everybody. I don't think there's a one size fits all explanation. It could be like the butterflies in the stomach. It can be sweaty palms, like a racing heart rate, rapid breathing. It could get to the point of being nauseated and panic and feeling like you're going to pass out. It really is a spectrum. I am a big believer in finding ways to hack that anxiety, to hack that nervous system as quick as possible, to calm it down, because when you're in that uncomfortable place, you want to bring it down as quick as possible. So again, it exists on a spectrum. So many people are being debilitated by anxiety these days. I would love to say that a lot of us just feel the little bits of butterflies in the stomach, but it tends to be a lot more than that. And if it gets to a point where it interferes with your life, then it's really the time to do something about it.
I love that explanation. And I talk to myself at times like, okay, let's get these butterflies flying in formation here.
That's a good way of putting it.
I'm a metaphor kind of person, and I like to be able to say, okay, body, these butterflies are whirling around here. Let's get them flying in formation here.
I love how you coach yourself. I'm a big believer. I do that a lot too. But to actually, that visual of getting those butterflies lined up in order, that's a good way to, actually it's a great technique on refocusing your brain. That's a great solution.
Now, I've been reading a book recently and I love it. And they propose an interesting thought. And I have to say, I'm not all the way through the book community. So maybe the book does talk about it, but they proposed the first question was something like, which comes first, the feeling, the flushing, whatever, the jitters, whatever, or the thought? And I've been trying to figure that out. Okay, is it the thought that erupts into my anxiety first and then my body responds, or is it the response and then the thought responds? So you have any thoughts on that? Because I'm not far enough along in this other book to figure it out.
I actually have a very good thought on it because that was my difference. I will go into it a little bit, but the 5-step program that I have, it's called Alarm. And that question is, I struggled. I really had to think hard which step was first, that 1 and 2. So I really believe the answer to your question, again, it's my belief that it starts with the feeling comes and then the thought. So it's almost like you can't fool an emotion. You can't fool a feeling. The feeling is a physiological reaction to our environment, and it comes and then we have a thought in response to that.
That makes sense. That's what I thought too. And I'd be curious when I get to the end of this other book, what their analysis is. But it happens so fast to me that I'll feel a little... Sometimes it's like a slight change in temperature, a rush or something along those lines. It happens so fast that I'm never quite sure, okay, did I think something that frightened me or did I feel something that frightened me? Maybe frightened's the wrong word.
The thing is, anxiety is a very useful, an extremely useful feeling to have. It's a very primal feeling that communicates a lot about what's happening on our inner world and our outer world. And if we didn't have it, we'd be in trouble. In fact, they say that you need a certain amount of anxiety to function effectively in your everyday life. And if you didn't have it, you would be in trouble. I met a neighbor the other day. She came to my book signing event and she said, Michelle, I really need more anxiety in my life. And I looked at her and I've never actually heard somebody say that. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I need more anxiety in my life to be able to function more effectively, to be able to be more of motivated to do things. Because if we don't have anxiety, we're not motivated to, for example, get out of bed in the morning, to get to work on time, to get our assignments in, to make dinner, to pick up the kids from programming. If we didn't have it, we'd just not be motivated to do much.
That makes sense on one level. Although I've talked to some people over the years on the show where the anxiety was so much that they had that same problem. I'll just stay here with the covers over my head. And so to me, as you'd mentioned, it's this idea of a balance or the spectrum.
It's the spectrum again. There's a healthy level. And that's what I'm going to teach today, because same thing as if you see anxiety on a spectrum, let's say from 0 to 10, they actually say a functional level is around 4 to 6. I would bring that down a little bit, but that's what a lot of people teach. You don't want it to get up to a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10. Like when it's that high, you have to definitely take action. But I'm going to teach today how to bring that anxiety level down to a healthy functional level so that you can use it to your benefit. Because again, it communicates important information and we need a certain amount of it. Redefine your relationship with anxiety. It makes a big difference. And then learning techniques on how to bring it down is a very important skill set.
I have a different set of vocabulary for it because I'm thinking that fight, flight, or freeze mechanism at an awareness level is really important. How does fight, flight, or freeze, that idea, fit in with anxiety?
What it is, that it's your sympathetic nervous system that gets triggered to take over. So your amygdala gets triggered and it sends stress hormones through your body. And that is your fight or flight response. So that's what causes the rapid heart rate, the nauseous feeling in the stomach, the quick breathing, the sweaty palms, that reactions, and it gives us the ability to run and hide. If you think of it, if you're walking down an alley and you hear a noise and you get that and you need to escape, that's the system that kicks into gear, that where you run and escape, that's your fight or flight. It's that sympathetic nervous system.
I've noticed, though, if I feel that kick in, it's like anxiety is the hangover part of it.
Yeah, it's like the aftermath of it. But what I'm going to teach today is how to activate what's called your parasympathetic nervous system. If you think of it as the gas in the car, so the gas is your sympathetic nervous system and your braking system is your parasympathetic nervous system. And that there's the balance there. So one is your fight or flight. So that's your gas. So your foot's on the gas and your parasympathetic nervous system is your braking system. So that is your rest and relax, or your rest and digest. And the two, we want to have a balance. So when the sympathetic nervous system is activated, and again, it's on a spectrum, you want to activate your parasympathetic nervous system as quick as possible to counterbalance that sympathetic nervous system, to get your body into that rest or relaxed state.
Okay, I get it. So it's one following the other. And what is the, I know we have five simple steps. What's the first step to begin to activate that?
What I've developed is a system called ALARM. So that's a five-step program to help you manage your anxiety. So we're not looking at trying to figure out how, I do a little bit of work on where it's coming from and why it's there, but the majority of my work is coming up with tools and techniques so people can learn how to manage it better, how to manipulate their nervous system, how to hijack their nervous system so that they can take control of the anxiety. So the anxiety is not controlling them. So the first step, the A, is activating the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's exactly what we just talked about. So that's almost like a superpower to learn how to activate that on demand when you need. And there's lots of things that you can do to activate that quickly. I'd love to show some techniques today that can teach people how to accomplish the goal of calming that nervous system, getting out of that anxious state to a place of a relaxed state, to that calm place where your heart rate slows down, your breathing slows down, and you can take that deep breath.
Okay, let's jump into what would be one of the first techniques that you find helpful.
I'm going to teach a handful of them today, but my absolute favorite technique that works really well, and again, I want to say, so what you're doing is you're activating what's called your vagus nerve, and your vagus nerve is your main nerve in your parasympathetic nervous system. If you think of it in terms of like going to the gym and exercising your muscle, you can exercise your vagus nerve. So you can have what's called low tone or high tone. So you want to get it to a place that your nervous system can calm down quickly. The more you train it, the quicker that you can get into that parasympathetic state. The more time you spend in that parasympathetic state, the healthier you will be. There's a lot of benefits. There's resilience, stress management. This vagus nerve has become my best friend, and I can activate it really quickly based on like even just a thought. I can just instantly take a deep breath and calm down. But one of my favorite techniques, I'll just move my headset here for a second, is, I don't know if you can see my ear.
We have some people on audio, so we'll walk them through it where you're pinching.
So what you want to do is you want to take your earlobe and pull it backwards.
Away from you, like backwards towards the back of your head?
And even if you pull the skin on the back of your ear, if you the skin or the earlobe, you're pulling it away from you. So you're not pulling it out to the side, you're pulling it to the back. And just a slight pull. But did you just take a breath? Did you see that? So I can, as soon as I do that, I instantly take a deep breath. Now that is training. So again, it's like a muscle. It's a trained response. So that is something that can instantly work. But again, it's not a one size fits all solution for people. You want to find what works for you. And I've got some easy techniques that we can do.
What I find fascinating about that pulling of the ear is from my body language work, is I find that a lot of people, when they get nervous, will either play with an earring or gently tug on their
ear. There you go.
I never quite knew what happened, but it's obviously activating the vagus nerve.
One of my things that I love to do is I love to put my lip gloss on. So what you want to do, again, anxiety exists on a spectrum. So if you're feeling a lot of anxiety, it's time for a different technique that I'll talk about in a few minutes. But if you're feeling a little bit, what you want to do is you want to activate your senses. So I love my lip gloss. Putting that on is a way to activate your sense of touch and smell. You've got your touch, your smell, your sight, your hearing, your taste. By activating those senses, you're activating your calming nervous system. And your lips, in fact, are more sensitive than your fingertips. They have millions of nerve fibers connected. So even rubbing your finger on your lips or putting like a lip gloss on activates your calming nervous system, your parasympathetic nervous system. Something like putting like cream on your hands. I've just put a little cream on. What you want to do is, what's that? If you have a smell that you love, to bring it out, and it takes you to that kind of happy place. It's that happy place that triggers the brain and releases chemicals in your body to calm you down. Some people, to activate their taste, they put like sours in their mouth. What you want to do is engage your senses as much as possible. There's another sense called proprioception that I teach a lot of people about. I don't know if you're familiar with proprioception.
Yeah, let's explore it. I find it fascinating because activating your hearing, your touch, your taste, all of those are so
easy.
Simple.
Easy. It doesn't have to be difficult. I'm going to teach you in a few minutes like the ways to really hack your nervous system if you're feeling like a lot of anxiety. But those are all things that I encourage people to keep in their toolkit to activate as much as possible.
You can also do those in public and nobody's going
in
like,
public,
what's wrong with
exactly.
them?
Exactly. So have those things in your purse or in your pocket. Carry things that you know you love the smell of. This is a candle that brings back a lot of memories for me. So even just smelling that, it calms you down quickly. Hugging a pet, that's one of my favorite things to do. If I'm feeling a little off or a little sad or a little anxious, I'll just go give a big squeeze to my pet, and that activates your touch. It activates what's also called your proprioception, and that proprioception is an interesting sense. It's knowing where your body is in space. So what you want to do, things like a weighted blanket, or I have a weighted vest here that can come into play, or going for a deep massage, but putting a vest on or putting a blanket on, that just helps really give your body feedback that you're calm.
And all of those are so simple to do.
Simple. I'm a big believer in really learning how to hack the nervous system and do it as much as possible. Again, you're training that muscle, that vagus nerve, to get you to high vagal tone so that you can handle stress better You can be, you don't get so activated by things. And if you do get activated, you bounce back quicker. You have that resilience. So your health and well-being will improve a lot if you can exercise your vagal nerve and activate your parasympathetic nervous system. That was a huge one in helping me in my personal situation with my daughter. She had a lot more anxiety than any of these could deal with. When the anxiety gets greater than that, cold is a fantastic technique.
The cold, like cold. Drinking a cold water, or what kind of cold?
Not so much drinking a cold water, but shocking your body. And you want to do it safely, but like Marsha Linehan, she developed dialectical behavioral therapy. Her technique was to hold an ice cube. So you're not just distracting the brain, but it's physically cold. Sometimes people like will put their face, like splash really cold water on their face, maybe 10 times. Or I've seen people put their hand in ice water or their face in ice water, or even get in a cold shower.
I love those ideas.
Cold is a fantastic technique. And in fact, these are like just little ice packs. They come in lots of different packages. Even putting ice in a Ziploc bag or even a frozen peas or something on the back of the neck or on your face. In fact, on the back of the neck here or here, it just really, what you're looking for is almost that shock to your body, and that really helps you calm down quickly. And again, if you're having a lot of anxiety, you need a stronger technique to calm it down. Yeah. Exercise works really well, like intense exercise works really well to calm the body down quickly as well, if you're feeling really high anxiety.
What's fascinating to me here is that some of the things I'm hearing is like, how can we activate a quickly and safely and easily a state change?
Exactly.
Whether that state change is the inhale and then the exhale of the cold,
yeah,
or the weight of a weighted blanket or vest, it's what is taking my attention to a different place, for even if it's just for a moment.
It's the attention and the physicality of it. So the like ice on the face, what it actually is doing is creating what's called a dive response. So it actually communicates to the body. If you imagine going underwater, like deep sea diving, when people go underwater, their systems shut down so that you're only focusing on the core, and all that, like that calming feeling in the body happens. So if you can activate that diving response instantly, you'll start to calm down. And that's what I was saying in the beginning, is that aftermath of anxiety that you feel, what you want to do is learn how to, again, find what techniques work for you. Try a lot of things, find what works for you, and then do it a lot. And train that muscle so that you can get to that happy place, that calm place quicker, so that you have more control. And it really is, it's like hacking your nervous system.
And I like to say celebrate. One of the things that I had a mentor tell me years ago was about when you were learning new things, that the distance between understanding it and getting it great can be quite a ways apart. But as each time you do it, and as you get better, you'll notice that distance between the time of response to the time of feeling better, shall we say here, gets shorter and shorter. And what I want to encourage people to do is celebrate when you notice. Like maybe it's the last time when I had this feeling, it took me 5 minutes to shift. And then, but this time after, maybe it takes you 4 minutes or 3 minutes, stop and celebrate. Stop and say, look at that. Good for me. Good. Thank you, body, for getting that response quicker and quicker. And I found that just talking to myself and my body like that really helped me integrate and learn quicker, because I don't know, some little child inside me wanted to hear that, oh, good job. You're getting faster and faster at coming back to that safer spot.
It's good coaching. You're coaching yourself. It's a fabulous technique. And we all have different approaches, different personality types, but being your own cheerleader and acknowledging success is a very good technique. Here's a little hack that I love to teach that's very quick and effective if anyone's feeling a little funky, and just a quick little fun way to improve mood is to take a pencil.
I take a pencil now. I got to
Take a
find a
pencil,
pen. Okay, I got a pen.
pen
Does
or
the pen
pencil.
work? Okay, I got a
Yeah.
pen.
Now, what we're going to do, and believe it or not, it does work. And it's a quick way to fool your body if you're feeling a little funky or down or sad and not having the best day. This is going to trick you, your brain, into thinking that you're smiling. We're going to activate our smiling muscles by putting a pencil in our mouth.
Okay.
Put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back so that you can relax your mouth so that you can get those in your teeth. Yeah, exactly. Take some breaths, and that's like the pencil hack, and it will turn the mood around because what it is, you're telling your brain that you're happy, and then the brain will send those happy chemicals to the rest of your body, and you've just fooled your body into thinking that you're happy.
Or you could do it with friends and laugh at each other. That works too.
Laughing is another great way to activate your vagus nerve. Exactly.
Oh
It
my
is
goodness.
a documented way to activate your vagus nerve. Laughing, singing, humming, gargling. These are all fantastic techniques that I talk about in my book.
Oh, wow. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk more to Michelle Buton about her book, The Instant Anxiety Solution, and find more simple steps to overcoming anxiety and achieving calm. So we'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm so excited. We're talking about an instant anxiety solution. It's a brand new book by Michelle Buton, and she's a health and wellness coach and an educator. And we've already heard so many quick and simple techniques, and I want to say inexpensive, if not downright cheap, ways to beat our anxiety. And a lot of those were on actually doing something, which I find fantastic. It's a way for me to distract my brain when I'm doing something. But Michelle, I've been fascinated by these techniques. They're all easy and things like that. And at the beginning of the show, I talked about this idea of the feeling or the thought. I know some of the next steps, some of the five simple steps, talk about the thoughts and harnessing the thoughts. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we have time to talk about those too. What are some of our conquering our thoughts?
Let me go back to the five-step program, the alarm program. So we covered the first step to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. So the second step that I've developed is called label what you are feeling. So that's an interesting one. It sounds very simple, but it's not always easy to label what you're feeling. A lot of times we're not totally aware what we're feeling, and sometimes feeling things is scary for people. So very often we tend to want to avoid what we're feeling and go around it, go under it. But by actually labeling it and putting a name to it, you are, we'll say, you're moving forward, you're beginning to move forward. So that's a really important skill set, and so important that I've called that step two in my alarm program, to label what you're feeling. And what I teach people is, if they're having a hard time knowing what it is that they're feeling, to look for what's called their action urge, or look for their behavior. So sometimes we display certain behaviors that kind of give us clues to how we're feeling. If you don't know what it is that you're feeling off the bat, you can also look for things that you're doing, wanting to run and hide, for example, then you know you're feeling anxious. We're used to what it feels like when we're happy. But again, identifying what the emotion is, putting a label to it, is a very important skill set.
How do we overcome the idea? Some of the things that came up with this idea of labeling is, I've talked to people before, they almost feel like they don't have permission to label things, certain things. Maybe they've never been allowed to be angry or something like that. I can think of all sorts of friends and family that I know that maybe are feeling those feelings, but just would never label it that, because it's either not the ladylike thing to do or the appropriate thing to do. So is there a technique to get comfortable even just with the labels that we put on those things?
It's an interesting thing, because it's almost, if we can't label it, then we can't fix it. We need to be able to identify what it is in order to be able to fix it. And acceptance, first of all, you have to have awareness. So that's what we're working on in this step. And acceptance is coming in one of my other steps, but that's interesting that you talk about that, because it's all mixed in with the reasons we have anxiety in the first place. And learning how to accept where we're at without, we can feel sad without being a sad person. We can have the feeling without it engulfing or overcoming us.
Part of me wants to say the word judging instead of just feeling it instead of judging it. Oftentimes other people are judging how we're feeling, and maybe we forget that sometimes we can just feel it and don't have to either accept our own judgment or other people's judgment of how we're feeling.
Yeah. And we judge ourselves a lot too. It's learning how to accept it. They say unconditional acceptance, to really 100% I talk about it in a different step, but it is the art of mindfulness, I call it, is to really be able to be in the moment. A lot of anxiety is very much fear of the future. Anxiety is very fear-based. People with anxiety have a really hard time with uncertainty and being in the present moment. And very often we project thoughts, project experiences from the past and put it into the future. We don't spend a lot of time in the now, and that's a really important skill set to learn. Again, these are all very learned skills, and this is the reason I put the book together with these five simple steps, because there are very practical things. Being a coach, I've made it very simple and easy to follow, so that there are techniques and tools that people can use along the whole way to practice doing these things. These things, again, are very learned skills.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I want to be mindful of our time. You'd mentioned mindfulness here. We have about 16 minutes left. I want to make sure, because I think we've got Let's see, three other steps to follow. So let's work on the second step a little bit if there's anything left that is important. And
I think that we've talked about activating, we've talked about labeling. The third step is a very interesting one that helps a lot of people as well. It's acknowledging that emotions are temporary. And this is an interesting concept because a lot of times emotions scare people. But the concept here is that emotions are temporary. They come and they go. So in order to reduce our suffering, we have to push through the emotion. So we have to acknowledge it, look it in the eye, and push through it. And learning that skill of pushing through the emotion and not going around it or over it or hiding it or numbing it or avoiding it, but learning how to push through our emotion gives a huge sense of power. And I teach people the concept that emotions are 7 minutes long. They last up to 7 minutes. They don't continue. The emotions don't, we don't feel sad for a long time. We feel sad for a little bit of time and then come up for air. And often it's our own thoughts and emotions that we attach onto that original emotion that causes all the suffering. And I've just gone into step four as well here as I'm talking about it. And that is remember to avoid layering your thoughts and emotions. The concept here, it's actually even quicker physiologically. It's even quicker. The body processes the chemicals of the emotion in 90 seconds. When a neurologist has discovered that the chemical reaction to the actual emotion is as short is 90 seconds. So the emotion comes in, it goes through our body, and then it goes out. And anything after that, it's our own doing. Like we add on thoughts and emotions, and we add on, we could call that suffering. Learning how to stop layering the thoughts and learning how, understanding that the emotions are temporary, that they don't continue or overwhelm us, gives us huge sense of power and helps us reduce our anxiety level, bringing it back down to that manageable level.
But 90 seconds can feel like a lifetime sometimes. When you said that, I went, wow, that's really quick. And then other times I thought a little further and I went, but there are times 90 seconds can just feel like forever.
And it's almost like you just have to hold on and do it. You just have to do something to hold on and let your body go through it and tell yourself it's only 90 seconds or it's only 7 minutes. I really like to give the 7 minutes up to 7 minutes. And that even comes in because a lot of times when we have those emotions or anxiety, it's something I didn't talk about in the beginning, but it's really important to understand that when we're anxious, our logical brain gets shut off. So we can't really think ourselves out of anxiety. We have to feel ourselves out of anxiety. Not until we activate that parasympathetic nervous system that I talked about in the beginning does our logical thinking come back in. So it's a lot of the time people, when they feel emotions, they take action and then regret it later. So it's almost like you want to take hold of something, feel that emotion, and then act afterwards. And learn how to not layer our thoughts and emotions onto that initial emotion.
Yes. And so, or that initial urge or action. Absolutely.
A lot of techniques, but those techniques all add up to make a significant difference.
Now, as we're learning this technique, what are some other things that you've noticed that is helpful for people? I had said 90 seconds can feel like a lifetime. Wow, 7 minutes could feel like several lifetimes if you're trying to move through it. I can think of a couple of times where I've been extremely upset and all sorts of emotions were going through me, from anger, betrayal, whatever the words were that I'm at the time. Do you have techniques to clear those out quickly?
Because
7 minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you can think about it in a way that we have an initial emotion and then it's almost like you're building a snowball. That snowball just gets bigger and bigger. And then you have this grandiose, you've got this massive snowball. So if you can think about it, is there's an original emotion in there. And then the more time we give, that our thoughts and emotions layer on more and more thoughts and feelings. And then that's where those things that you were talking about, the anger, the betrayal, all that stuff comes on. Very often those are what's called secondary emotions.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
And learning how to just take control of those thoughts in a sense, and learning techniques that I talk about in the book so that you can let those thoughts and emotions just fall off or not impact or not layer, then you're just dealing with the original emotion, because it's all those other emotions that add on to give that snowball that strength, that suffering.
I can see where if I had intervened early with cold water on my face or an ice pack on the back of my neck or any of those other techniques, taking the deep breath, pulling my earlobe, I can see like, yeah, you're right. Maybe that early intervention techniques could keep it from snowballing.
When you're in that when that snowball's building, it's hard to just say that, let your thoughts roll off your back. But if you can just focus on being mindful and being in the present moment and layering the thoughts as just thoughts and not giving them much attention. And again, these are all learned skills, techniques that take time to learn, but they do work. Those all bring us a huge sense of power to learn how to take charge of the mind and take charge of the body.
Absolutely. And I want to chime in here of giving yourself small celebrations every time you notice that you've been able to interrupt it. Giving yourself a small celebration of some sort, even if it's just giving yourself a pat on the back or a high five yourself.
Absolutely. And that brings us nicely into the step five in my alarm program. And that is to move forward and take action. I'm a big believer as a coach to set goals and to do it in a way, it's almost giving yourself a roadmap. Without that roadmap, we don't have direction. If you can get, again, there's a fantastic exercise in here, a goal setting exercise. And what you're saying is to acknowledge to success, setting small, manageable, realistic goals and acknowledging the success. I call it climbing the ladder slowly. A lot of people either don't write their goals down or set really big, unattainable goals. But I believe the goal is setting small, manageable goals and acknowledging yourself along the way, acknowledging the successes, and you're climbing that ladder, and all of a sudden you look back and you can celebrate so much of what you've done rather than taking off too much and not accomplishing. If you can think about it as even the coaching principle of celebrating our mistakes, or the difference between a mistake and a failure. A mistake is a stepping stone. So we want to be able to try things, to concentrate on taking small baby steps, action steps to move us forward. A lot of the times we either set the goals too big, or we hit those stumbling blocks and say, that's it, I'm not doing it, or it's too big and scary, and we stay in a very comfortable place. But there are ways to get yourself out of it, to get unstuck, to move forward in very small, manageable, easy ways.
I had a actual coach, like a PE kind of coach one time, just always talking about stretch goals, how these grand goals of, and while the concept is fascinating to me, it was humiliating, or maybe that's too strong a word, but I wasn't seeing enough success quick enough towards that thing that was so huge, that had stretched so far. I like the idea, the concept seems interesting, but you're right, you have to have those small celebrations and see those wins in between that thing that's so big or so far out there and what you're doing now. So keep you motivated.
It's almost like you want to have, and this is what I talk about, you have a goal statement and then you set your three goals. I have an exercise in my book called The Wheel of Balance that really helps people. Again, I'm a health and wellness coach, so I focus on a holistic approach, that we don't want to focus just on one area, but if you can focus on all areas and take little steps, that it helps you move forward quicker in all areas and feel more successful. It takes the pressure off of one area specifically. And if you can think about it, you want to get the wheel functioning so that it can roll, because if you just focus on one or two areas, the wheel won't roll very well.
Oh, you just gave me the idea. I thought about the old Flintstones cartoons and the stone tires.
An old wheel, exactly. Yeah. So we operate as a holistic system. Same thing with anxiety, mind, body, spirit. You want to just not focus on one approach. So that's where I've brought in a lot of the physiology, the kinesiology, the body, the mind, and the spirit.
So we've talked about strengthening the vagus nerve, mm-hmm. and we've talked about some quick and simple techniques for instantly or very quickly calming down that moment of anxiety, and some other techniques to move us through and understanding what might be causing anxiety. We're down to just about the last 6 minutes or so. What would you like to share with everybody that I haven't touched on yet, or that I should say that we haven't touched on yet?
I would really like to share with people, there's a lot I'd like to say, but the main message is anxiety is fixable. Anxiety, there are a lot of things that you can do to get your situation manageable. So try not to feel hopeless. There are lots of ways to get unstuck and to accomplish success and move forward. I'm a big believer that we can all do it. We can all move forward. And it's just a matter of learning how to take those baby steps, what those baby steps are. There's information overload. You go on all social media, you go on Google, there's information on anxiety everywhere on how to make changes, but it's the actual doing it, it's the actual action. So the words, if I can look at the words, I'll try and I'll do my best, are good words, but dangerous words, because they're non-committal words. If you can focus on taking small baby steps and committing to even just a little bit of change, if it's even just improving our nutrition helps us with anxiety, even if you're going to eat one carrot a day, even a baby step like that and acknowledging that success, little bits make a difference.
That's great. We didn't even have a chance to touch on nutrition, but do you have a couple of quick tips on, are there certain specific things that we should do and or avoid?
You know what? I would encourage people to follow me on social media. On my Instagram account, I'm just pushing through my anxiety and getting out there and giving a lot of free information, useful information, lots of tips on things like nutrition, little ways to hack the system. Grab my book, go to my website, michellebeton.com. In terms of nutrition, there are lots of things that we can do. The gut is our second brain. We want to do things like, we have to take care of our gut. So things like taking a good probiotic, eating a healthy diet full of fiber, drinking lots of good water, exercise. We didn't touch on any of that stuff, but all of that is very important in managing anxiety and improving our health and wellness.
Most of those tips also reminded me of things that we say to keep our body out of flare states and to heal our autoimmune conditions.
Yes,
it's all connected.
Our gut, yes. Really concentrate on a healthy gut. The gut, the mood neurotransmitters are made there. Like, we want to not only do it for keeping the inflammation down, actually the vagus nerve is really important to train to lower inflammation as well. So it's that kind of two-directional highway between the gut and the brain and the gut. So you want to work on both of them. So eating a healthy diet, taking a really good probiotic, your prebiotics, a good quality water. Exercise is also really important. Lots of activity, getting some good cardiovascular, keeping the cortisol levels down. Lots of really important things to go over in a little bit of time, but there's lots more learning to be done, again, in the book, on my social, on Instagram, on the website.
Fantastic. And the name of the book is called The Instant Anxiety Solution: 5 Simple Steps to Quiet Your Mind and Achieve Calm. And thank you, Michelle, for sharing with us today all the quick and simple steps. It's Like I say, it always sounds simple. It's not always easy, but a lot of these tips are absolutely doable. It's just about making the commitment to change.
Making the commitment. And even if you just walk away with one thing from today's talk that you can take away and do, or one thing from the book that you can take away and do, that's moving forward.
Absolutely. And Michelle, spell your website. I know the way we say Bitton is not how it's spelled.
So it's Michelle Bitton, MichelleBitton.com, C-O-M.
Yeah. Bitton.
Yeah.
Her name is pronounced Bitton, but I wanted to make sure everybody could find it on the website as well.
And on Instagram, it's Bitton Michelle, BitonMichelle.
Okay, fantastic. Everyone, that's Michelle Bitton. The book is called The Instant Anxiety Solution. Check it out. It's got a lot of simple and easy steps to overcoming anxiety and understanding why we are where we are as well.
Yeah.
So have a great week, whatever your adventures, and join me next week for another brand new episode.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.